Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And Jeremy, we are doing episode 77.
77.
A very special Halloween episode. We are finishing up our Witchapalooza.
Witchapalooza.
Witchapalooza tour. And we are finishing up with the ever-beloved, ever-creepy, ever-wonderful Return to Oz.
Return to Oz.
Return to Oz.
So this is, honestly, this is probably one of my favorite movies. Like, I loved this movie when I was younger.
When you were younger.
I still love it.
You still love it.
Oh, God, I still love it. Like, sometimes you watch something from when you were younger and you go, oh, well, you know, it didn't hold up quite as much.
This is, like, creepier. I think it's even creepier now.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it that I appreciate now.
Yeah.
And like, some of the adults, like, in the, even though they're not on the screen that long, I'm like, okay, I understand their, like, some of the subtext with that a little bit.
This is Firouza Balk as Dorothy Gale.
Yep.
This is her first movie, her movie debut.
Yeah, her feature premiere.
Yeah.
She had been, I think she'd been on TV, in like a TV movie once before that.
Right. And the director of this movie has only directed one movie, and that is this movie.
Mm.
He directed an episode of Star Wars Clone Wars.
Okay.
And that's the only other thing he's directed. But he's done sound editing and like movie editing.
Yeah.
For George Lucas, Francis Ford Coppola, you name it.
Yeah, and so they actually, all those guys, and I think like Jim Henson and some other people, and they actually visited the sets and came and checked it out, what he was doing, because they were all like, oh, wow, you're going to do this? Okay, let's do it. So they showed up to like give him encouragement or give him tips because it was his first time out.
Yeah.
So it was this very like, it's just an amazing experience.
Sure. A couple other great actors that show up in this movie are Piper Laurie as Auntie M.
Yep.
Jean Marsh, the incredible Jean Marsh from Upstairs, Downstairs, PBS Masterpiece Theater, Upstairs, Downstairs. She shows up as well as the witch of the movie, you would say.
Yes. Yep.
And who plays the Gnome King guy?
The Gnome King is played by...
He's big, too. I can't think of his name right now.
He is played by Nicol Williamson.
Yes.
He does a lot of, like, British things and, like Shakespearean stuff. But, like, if you're a child of the 90s, early 2000s, you will probably remember him. He was Cagliostro in the Spawn movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
And this movie is set around Halloween. It's around that time.
Yeah, it is.
So, hey, it's a really good movie to watch on Halloween. And there's a big gigantic pumpkin head guy. So there goes that, too.
There you go.
And I don't know. There's some other stuff that we can talk about this movie, but I think that goes along with the review of the movie itself when we drop the deuce. But, Jeremy, there is no phonies in this movie.
That's true. That's very true.
And there's no phonies on the No Phony Podcast Network.
Also true.
It's very true. And we are proud members of the No Phony Podcast Network.
You know it.
And I just want to say that, you know, that we are.
No, and you absolutely should. I know. Because it is true.
It's true.
So, you know, you can go onto the No Phony Podcast Network. They have really a little bit of everything for everyone. So it's definitely worth checking out. This month's featured podcast is BS3 Sports and Music. So it's a great show if you want to cover sports, you want to cover music, you want to cover anything in between. They cover it. So definitely give them a chance, give them a listen. Otherwise, there's lots of stuff for you to check out. Just give it everything a shot and, you know, keep what you like.
So you know what? After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
This is Heroes Garage, where Bill, Adrian, Tom, and Eric review and discuss superheroes, science fiction, and fantasy movies, TV shows, and shows that show up in streaming services We take our comic book and superheroes very seriously, but we don't take ourselves or our opinions too seriously. Unless, of course, our favorite character receives a colossal beatdown in the first 2 minutes of an epic thriller that is the culmination of a 20-movie string. But I digress. You can find us at Heroes Garage on Twitter, and you can also find us on iTunes. Please rate and review us there so more people can listen to our work. We are part of the No Phony Podcast Network.
And we are back.
We are.
Now, I said this earlier when we first started, but this movie is very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Very wonderfully creepy. Might not be recommended for younger viewers. I don't know. I don't know what kind of age you would want. I know that we were talking to a friend about The Dark Crystal. And she has a five-year-old, and I go, would he be okay with this? And she's like, he's in Infinity Wars. So he can go through. So
I guess,
like, it's a new era, you know? Like, if your kid can get through Infinity Wars, maybe he can get through anything.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe the litmus test has changed a little bit.
Yeah, I know. This one creeped me out when I was younger, but, like, I remember watching Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
And, the Skeksis creep me out, plus the ancient ones kind of creep me out. And I remember my dad would walk through the house doing like Skeksis noises,
nice.
And he would creep the hell out of me doing it. I'd go running.
That's pretty great. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So some people are creeped out by that. Some people are creeped out by parts of Labyrinth.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah,
so there are some creepy, you know, movies out there. This is happened to be 1985,
mm-hmm.
around that time. Tim Burton was doing Pee Wee's Big Adventure. There's some creepy moments in that as well.
Yes.
So it's a very creepy moment in time of cinema. But why don't we drop the deuce on Return to Oz, shall we?
So, just so to kind of clear some things up here. So, this movie, it's got a weird place, and the reason we haven't covered this one before is because it's got kind of a weird place as far as the movies go.
Right.
So it's, people build it up as kind of a sequel, but it's not necessarily a sequel, like, directly. So they tried to basically butt up against the other movie. They didn't have too much overlap or, like, talk about things from the first one to the degree, like, you couldn't. You know, like, the second one wouldn't look independent. And the reason they did that was to save on some of the royalties, because they were actually trying to use to go royalty-free on using these, because the books were in public domain.
Hmm.
And so they were, that's why they did that. So they don't talk about specific events. I mean, they talk about certain things like, oh, that's where the house landed on the witch, or this is what,
right.
But it's all material from the public domain stuff. The only thing that was, they did have to pay royalties for, was for the ruby slippers that are in this. And the reason they had to do that was because in the books, they're silver slippers. They're not ruby slippers.
Oh, gotcha.
And so that's MGM owned, specific.
Owned the ruby slippers.
And that's why themselves. They did that. Because MGM did that because it popped on film better than the silver ones did.
Also, if you are going to call this movie a sequel, which many people do, it held for the longest time the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest time between the first movie and the sequel to come out, about 47 some odd years, I would say. So if we are going to call it a sequel, this is probably the longest time span we have ever had from one movie to the other.
So they claimed just recently that Bambi 2 overtook that. But I don't remember Bambi 2 being in the theaters. Maybe I'm wrong with that, but
it is a sequel, though.
Yeah, but you have, like, Cinderella 2 and shit like that. Why doesn't that count for
Bambi,
stuff?
Bambi's a very old movie, though.
Yeah, I know it is.
Okay.
But it wasn't in the theaters,
I don't think. But we are doing Return to Oz.
We are. So this movie, speaking of the royalties, they paid MGM. This movie cost about $28 million to make. And in 1985 money, that was incredible.
All of that was Fariza Balk's pigtails.
It was. It was, they needed stylists for that. But in the box office, it made about 11.
And that's a craft itself.
So in the box office, it only made about $11 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a flop.
It was a flop.
That's a big flop.
But this thing has serious cult.
A very much cult classic.
This actually, I wanted to do this movie. Court Psyops, when he does like the cinema psyops stuff, like he did the cinematic drama series where he'd have people on and talk about things that kind of shaped them a little bit with like what they were watching. And I had it down to two movies, Return to Oz and Six String Samurai. And I decided that first I would do Six String Samurai, and then I would go back on the show down the road and cover Return to Oz, and that never happened. So we are covering it here and now. So
there you go.
So let's see here. So let's get kicked off. So 6 months have passed since the end of...
No, 47 years have passed.
Well, right. I get that. But like, as far as the story goes.
Sure.
It's after the events of the first movie.
Yeah, about like six months.
Yes. And it opens with just kind of a window with stars. You see, you know, it's just kind of as it pans, it pulls back. You see it's a room and Dorothy is laying there with her eyes wide open. She's not asleep. And Toto is trying to lay down with her, but she just can't relax. And so Annie M comes in and says, "Hey, like, are you still awake?" "Well, it's after 1 a.m. Like, how are you still up?" You know, she just can't sleep. She doesn't sleep anymore.
Yeah.
All she can think about is Oz. During the day, she talks about Oz and she dreams about Oz. And, you know, she just cannot get over it.
And Auntie M should have a little bit more sympathy, because all that she keeps thinking about is Twin Peaks. Just Twin Peaks this, Twin Peaks that. That's all like Piper Laurie is thinking about.
She's like, "Oh, the faculty."
Oh, my God. My God.
Yeah, so Auntie M, understandably, she's worried, right? Uncle Henry is not as worried about her. But he has his own kind of trauma going on, too, that, like, I didn't pay attention to when I was a kid.
His trauma was he was in Back to the Future. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, serving drinks to Doc Brown.
To Doc Brown.
M has given Uncle Henry something like cut out of the paper that's talking about new experiments in health. Where they use electricity to make you better. As you know, we know it now, like, you know, the electroconvulsive therapy or, you know, shock treatment.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. So
I thought they were just letting her listen to music.
No, those were not headphones. So they, M wants to take her to this guy. Uncle Henry is like, "Are you sure? We don't really need that. She'll get over it. She'll be fine."
It's almost like, so she's a kid. Like, let her kind of get over it.
Yeah. And so the next day, she's running around outside, and she has this, there's a chicken on the farm named Belina. And Belina is pecking around and finds a key in the mud, and like she had seen it like a shooting star the day before. Well, the key looks like it has the letters OZ on it, and of course Annie M says, "Nope, that is the key to the house before, you know, it blew away. I used it all the time."
Right. What she doesn't know, it's actually Zoe for Zoe Deschanel.
It is true.
And she's the new girl.
Yeah.
Playing Dorothy.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So in Tin Man, she did.
Oh, my God. That is true. That was Zoe Deschanel.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. You didn't even know. You were just making a...
My stupid joke actually makes sense.
Hooray.
I'm going to play my ukulele made out of milk cartons. I'm Corky.
Shit, I thought there's two of you. we see this kind of thing. So she's talking to Aunt Em, and she says, "Hey, she's talking about like the house, and she's like, look, winter's coming. The house is not done. You know, we have problems." And you see Uncle Henry is just sitting there. And she goes, "Oh, come on, Aunt Em. His leg, he broke his leg." And she goes, "That leg got mended a long time ago. Now he's just kind of, I think he's got like a depression as well."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what they're getting at. He's depressed, or he's kind of got some post-traumatic stress of his own. So anyway, Aunt Em takes Dorothy to the office of Dr. J.B. Worley, the grandfather of Joanne Worley.
Joanne Worley!
So she, they take him there. And he is...
What is Joanne Worley known for, but yet the Match Game? Like, I don't really know her from anything else. What was she big on?
Oh, Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
Oh, she was on Laughing. God, yeah. What was I thinking?
And she played, like, the wardrobe on Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, she did.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Worley, they take Dorothy to Dr. Worley's, and he is talking about how it's a completely safe kind of treatment, kind of, you know, and like is explaining it, and he brings out this machine, like the electrotherapy machine, and he's like, "See, Dorothy, it's like a little face," and he's trying to like make it seem fun that you're about to get your brain sizzled in between these things. Ain't that fun, kid?
It's fun, kid. Yeah. Look, these dials look like eyeballs. What's that little tuner? What's he?
Yeah, he goes, "And if this was his eyes, and this was his nose, this must be his mouth, right?" And she's like, "Uh-huh." And he's like, "Look, that's his little tongue. Isn't that fun?" And she's like, "Is this going to hurt?" Was the next thing she said. Yes. I was like, her head is in the right place.
Yes.
And you're like, "Ha, ha, 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 ha."
Dorothy doesn't need this. She's right on top of it.
She's like, something ain't right.
She's like, "Yeah, I am right."
I've
seen flying monkeys. This ain't right.
So his assistant, Nurse Wilson.
Yes.
Who's played by
Volleyball.
Is played by Gene Marsh.
Gene Marsh, the wonderful Gene Marsh.
Wonderful Gene Marsh. Who's just kind of a tough old broad. She's kind of like a school marmish kind of.
Yeah, as the nurse, yes, she is. Yeah.
She's, you know, Aunt Em says you got to obey them, you know, whatever. And Aunt Em tries to give her some home-cooked food, and the nurse is like, "Get that shit out of here. We don't do that."
Those were her exact words.
Yeah, "Get that shit out of here."
I remember that from the original book. Get that shit out of here.
Remember in the first movie when Glinda says she's going to fuck someone up? "I'm going to fuck you up.
I'm going to fuck some shit up. Woohoo."
"We're in the house on my fucking sister."
On the fucking yellow brick road.
Fucking yellow brick road. God.
So
anyway, so they take Dorothy to a room and lock her inside,
which is what one does.
Yes, which is always a good start to this
at the electric company.
Yes, you start seeing like as you're walking them in, there's like a guy who is pushing around this
like a gurney,
a stretcher, and it's making these like really like creepy
squeaky noises,
squeak sounds with the wheels, and the guy looks just creepy in general.
Yeah.
So inside, she meets this mysterious girl who knows her name and is talking with her and asking why she's there.
Picking locks for somehow she got in there.
Yeah. And so, you know, she and Dorothy seem like they're kind of chummy. Later, the nurse comes for her, for Dorothy, and says, all right, we got to go. We're going to take care of whoever. So they head out. They tell Dorothy to get up on the stretcher or the gurney, mm-hmm. and they strap her down. And they're like, she's like, why am I being strapped down?
Right.
And they're like, so you don't fall off. And she goes, I just rode in a buggy across. I just rode in a buggy across, you know, half the U.S. Right. apparently. Like, you know, I'm not going to fall off. And they're like, strap her arms down, boys. And so they go wheel her away. And they get her in the, like, the electrotherapy room. And they're charging up the machines. It's real tense. Like, you get the feeling like they're getting ready to zap her.
Yeah.
And right as they're about to,
Well, can we go back? Like, so Jean Marsh's character, the nurse, puts the I can't even pronounce it. The little things where you electrocute, right?
Yeah, like the.
But she puts them over her ears, like
yeah, like their
headphones.
Earphones. Yeah. No. Instead of putting them on her temples,
I think we were like, she goes, "What's that?" And I go, "That Beats by Dr. Dre."
Yeah. By Dr. Thaddeus Dre, the inventor of electroshock therapy.
Yes, but does it get Spotify?
Spotify was another name for mental illness.
That's what your eyeballs get after you get shocked. You keep
Doc,
seeing,
I've got Spotify.
Got Spotify.
After the Beats by Dre just sizzled my noggin.
All right, we're not even to Oz yet.
I know, God. So as they're getting ready to zap her, like they wind up the machine.
Yeah.
Like it powers up by other things, but also there's like a winding thing on it that I do not know what it's for, but they wind it up. And right as they're about to zap her, the power goes out.
Yeah.
And so they all take off to figure out what's going on. They leave Dorothy because, of course, she's strapped down, so she's fine. And while she's laying there trying to wriggle free, the same mysterious girl shows up again and takes the earphone,
okay.
Takes the Beats by Dre off.
Can we just stop here for a second? Now, this is a family movie, okay? Yeah. And already within 10 minutes, we're trying to electrocute our main character.
Yes.
This is dark shit, people.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Well, shit, but in the other one, like...
She falls
into the pigs, into the pig pen and almost gets eaten.
Yeah, like in all, you know, matters, this is just a little bit darker in tone. But
well, and I think I pointed out to you too, like, because we'll see the same kind of parallels like the first one where it's like people in the real world mirror people in Oz.
Right, like in The Wizard of Oz, it was the handyman people.
But
in
The Wizard
like
of Oz,
people.
It's like her friends, with the exception of the witch, mostly it's like her friends.
Right.
In this one, it's all, like, the villains.
Yeah, with the exception of, like, TikTok.
Yeah.
Which is the wind-up thing.
Yeah, the thing that's going to electrocute her, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, that's kind of odd that, like, that's the thing that's going to electrocute you, but whatever. Yeah.
And the pumpkin, the mysterious girl's like, it's almost Halloween, and gives her a little pumpkin.
Yeah, it gives her a little pumpkin, too. Yeah.
So, whenever the power goes out, the mysterious girl starts helping her escape. And they go running. And you can hear they're talking as they go. There's all these people, like, moaning and screaming. And Dorothy's like, what is that? And they said, that's all the people, like, the failed experiments in the basement. So they've done this to other people and permanently messed them up. And so they just locked them away in the basement.
So right now it's American Horror Story Oz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I would be behind.
I'd be behind that, too.
Yeah, right. So they go running. They end up, they almost manage to escape all the way without getting noticed until they run through, like, the main lobby when Nurse Wilson comes out and sees them and starts chasing after them. And so they run outside. It's storming outside. They run out there. Nurse Wilson chases them. They end up running through the woods and down to the river. So over the river and through the woods.
Which is not a that's a Thanksgiving song.
Yes.
Yeah. Halloween song.
Yes. So they, the mysterious girl and Dorothy roll down the riverbank and into the water. And so they're trying to, like, find something to hang on to. And so they finally get onto this, like, chicken coop thing that's floating by. And you see, like, when they go into the water, Nurse Wilson seems genuinely concerned. She's
kind of.
She's like, no, girls, girls. And she's, like, trying to get them. And so she even jumps in the water to get to them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that she's, like,
once I get you back, we will electrocute you.
Yeah, no, I think she's like, I think she's just like tough, but she also, you know, it's like, oh,
well, I gotta don't think save she them. Wants the kids to be drowning,
yeah,
and, like,
right,
going into water.
Yeah, and so she's going after them. So Dorothy's on this chicken coop. The girl disappears.
We don't know where she went.
So
the chicken coop looks a little bit smaller than what it was. So I would call it maybe a mini coop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you know why a chicken coop has two doors?
Because why?
Because otherwise it'd be a chicken sedan. I don't know. Anyway, Dorothy wakes up, and she is kind of in this, like, ocean-looking thing, just floating.
Yeah.
And her chicken is with her.
Yes.
So we get Bellina.
How? We have no clue.
Yeah.
I flew all the way.
Yeah. I washed down the river, too. So, but Bellina now can talk.
Yes, you know, unfortunately.
Despite what everybody thinks, she's not Mary Wick.
She sounds exactly like Mary Wick. Now, who's Mary Wick? Mary Wick is that
sister
one
Mary
sister.
Lazarus.
Yeah, in Sister Act.
Yeah.
Sister Mary Clarence.
Yeah, so it actually is a woman named Denise Breyer.
Oh, okay, so it is a woman.
Yeah, the puppeteer is named Mac Wilson, so...
Didn't we read that Don Knotts was in talks to play?
Yes, they wanted Don Knotts to do the voice, which I could totally see. Like, it sounds like,
hey, Dorothy,
pay your rent.
Andy,
so,
pay your rent.
Bellina can now talk, and Dorothy's like, well, it's weird that you can talk. Like, she's like, where'd you learn to do that? And she's like, I don't know. I just kind of do now.
Yeah.
She's like, huh. You know where that wouldn't be weird? Oz.
Right.
And she's like, oh, wait a minute. Holy shit. Are we in Oz?
Her exact words.
Yeah.
There was so much cussing in this movie.
There is. And so she's like, well, we're in this ocean. I don't know where that is. And Bellina's like, no, it's not an ocean. And you realize that it's just water now sitting in the middle of this desert. And so Bellina's like, I'm going to go look around. Dorothy stops her.
No, say it like Bellina.
I'm going to go look for some worms. So
Mary Wicks, everyone.
Ah, now Sister Mary Clarence.
That's exactly what the chicken sounds like.
I know.
Exactly. I thought it was Mary Wicks the whole time.
And great if it was, though.
Yeah.
Or Don Knotts. I would have accepted Don Knotts.
It's like if Mary Wicks and Don Knotts had a kid.
And it was a chicken.
Yeah.
The
Knotts Wicks.
John Wicks.
John Wicks.
Don Wicks.
Don Wicks.
The
Don Wicks 2.
So Dorothy is like, oh my God, Belinda, do not hop out onto that, because I think if this is what I remember, this is the Deadly Desert. Now, she says she flew over it last time when she was coming to Oz. Now, the thing people are like, what? I think a lot of people thought this part was weird because never is it mentioned in the movie,
the
first movie. So maybe it was mentioned off screen or something like that. But people were like, it just seems like a big plot hole. I just figured it was something that was cut or something that they were like,
it was
whatever,
just,
she'd had to learn her way.
It was just kind of the door into Oz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever.
It basically, it sits kind of in the center.
It's like the gateway.
It sits around the edge of...
It's like the wall.
Yeah.
It's like a wall. It's like a big gigantic wall.
Yeah.
We must build the wall around Oz.
Yes.
No.
They are like, okay, she is standing on stones, walking across this desert, and she's walking. You see, like, rocks have eyes on them, and they're kind of, like, watching her. And that'll come up again here momentarily. But as they're walking, and I pointed this out to you, too, they come across a tree, a lunch pail tree.
Oh, yeah, the lunch pail tree.
Yeah. And these, when I was a little kid, thought it was the coolest thing. And honestly, I still think it's the coolest thing. If I could get lunch pails that looked like the lunch pail
tree
pails.
Maybe a lunch box. Maybe a lunch box tree where you get like Dukes of Hazzard lunch box.
Lunchable trees.
Lunchable, yeah.
No, if I could have a lunch pail tree like that, I wouldn't care. People would be like, what is that? I'm like, it's a lunch pail tree. It's a lunch pail from a lunch pail tree. It has a ham sandwich in it.
She opens it up and there's a ham sandwich.
Yeah, and it's cool because when she pulls off the cap part of it, which is like the leaves, and you can see almost like when you like cut an apple open, how it has kind of the like little shapes of the inside of a fruit thing. But inside of there, it has food. So like she opens it up and she has a ham sandwich, which cool.
Because if it was bologna, she would have to like trade with someone else.
Yeah, true. You eat that bologna sandwich. But also, kudos to a tree that grows meat products inside of it. Like, that? Do they spoil? Like, does it get rancid real fast?
What's that tree? The tree is sponsored by Hormel?
Yes. And she goes, and Belinda goes, don't pick any of the green ones. And then I keep thinking, I wonder what's inside the green ones.
Healthy ones?
Is it just like...
Is that a vegan sandwich in the green ones?
I think it's the unripe ones. Is an unripe sandwich
maybe
like?
It's like medical marijuana. It's like maybe the you know, the medical marijuana stuff. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, the edibles, that's what it is.
It's an edible one?
It's an edible lunch.
You'll trip your ass off, Dorothy.
I think you already are. You're in Oz.
After they have their lunch pail, she picks two, one for now and then one for on the road. And so they're walking. She's got her lunch pail. And she sees the house from the first movie, the original house. And instead of going inside and looking for things that might help her, she just kind of looks in through the window and reminisces about that was my bed and in there was a kitchen and this is where I murdered somebody.
Yeah.
And so then she realizes.
And this is when I open the door. And if you are putting Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, this is where it goes. Jing, 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 money, it's a gas. Okay, go ahead.
You can sync our podcast up to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. No, the
maybe Hey You.
You can sync us up to Kesha's TikTok.
Especially when we start talking about TikTok, do you then hit the Kesha song?
That's true. So she's like, "Wait a minute! If this is the house, where did the Munchkins go? Like the little Munchkin land is gone," and she's looking around and she realizes you can see the yellow brick road. It has been torn up. The bricks are smashed. It's basically just all ripped up. And Belina's like, what? It's yellow bricks. And this is, like, sometimes she goes into it and sometimes she doesn't. But Fariza Balk almost does this, like, Judy Garland.
She does a little bit of a Judy Garland.
No, you don't understand. Yeah. You don't understand at all, Belina.
She kind of does it really good, though.
Yeah, she does it, like, it's, like, dead on.
It's a, well, like, why are the munchkins paying that wheel tax if they can't, if no one's doing
know.
Their,
why don't
you
they patch
Yellow
the...
Road, patch it up.
Well, they didn't pay whatever, so we're going to ground their Yellow Brick Road up in the chat.
So, which Stothard, just yeah. Which Stothard.
So she's like, oh my god, you know, if this is destroyed, what happened to the Emerald City? And so she starts running down this Yellow Brick Road. And she gets there in about 15 minutes of running.
Yes. they made it. She made it to the Emerald City.
Like, in nothing.
But in the movie, it takes, like, and you like fucking forever.
You went through a poppy field and, like, almost died. Like, those three idiots dragged you down if yes. you were, like...
From all that dancing and singing that you had yeah. to do with them, they dragged you down.
Yeah, right? Like, wow, this was so much... this was so much faster when it's just cardio,
maybe it's
not
just easier when, like, the Elbrick Road is just, you know, all torn up. Oh, it just goes that way.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe. You know, it's like the Emerald City look like Washington, D.C. and Logan's Run, where it was like all like holes in it.
Yeah.
That's what it looked it like did. To me.
It almost, I wonder if it was like maybe the same models.
I don't know, but it looked like that
kind of
to thing. Me.
Yeah, like it looked very similar.
Cats have three names.
Cats have three names.
So, I mean, they make it to the Emerald City, but, yeah. like, it's ruined.
Yeah, it's just totally destroyed. And she sees when she goes there's, like, a bunch of people sitting that look like they've been turned into stone, yeah. like, going about their day, or, the one that's creepy is there's, like, a bunch of women who are, like, dancing, but all their heads are missing, which is not something you want to stumble across. And
not in
so,
a kids movie.
Not in a kids movie. So she's like, what the heck? And then Belina starts freaking out because she sees the Tin Man with an axe over his head. And, like, she thinks he's doing something. Well, he's stoned. And you see the Cowardly
he's
Lion.
He's stoned? So
yes.
The Tin Man's stoned.
Yeah. And he looks very like he looks like a robot, kind of.
You know what it is? All these people got the green lunch pail. That's why they're all stoned.
That's why they all turn into whatever. the Cowardly Lion, so that he doesn't walk around on his hind legs in this movie. He's like on all fours. Yeah. And he doesn't talk. He's like just a lion.
Yeah.
And Tin Woodsman looks like he's made of a robot. Like he's made of tin and not just a guy wearing a goofy suit. And they're like, wait, where's the Scarecrow? And they're like trying to figure it out. And then spray painted on the wall is, or whatever on the wall is, beware the Wheelers. Which is good advice.
I would think so.
Because I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of seeing the Wheelers in this movie, but they are just nightmare fuel.
They're not the creepiest thing about this movie.
No, not the creepiest.
But they are one of them.
They're pretty fucking creepy.
But they're pretty fucking creepy.
So it's guys who have... Yeah, right. So it's guys who have wheels for their hands yeah. and feet and are just like skating around. They have like helmets.
You know how like...
They have faces
like,
on them too.
When people are on stilts and they look like they have like long legs and long
yeah.
arms.
Yeah.
Imagine that, but, like, hunched over, and they have wheels on
exactly
on their hands.
And
that's how they get around.
Oh, yeah.
And
so,
they have, like, these weird, like, helmet things that are just creepy.
Yeah, they have faces on them.
It's very, like, Mad Max.
Yeah, kind of. Their outfits are really weird. Like, it's hard to describe. I think I just describe it like, you know how they were, like, what if we made an urban version of The Wizard of Oz and we got The Wiz?
Yeah.
And then they were like, can we make it less urban? And
can
then
we make
left,
it white
gave
again?
Gave him those jackets. Yeah, gave him the... Made it all... You know,
white again?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but that's what they, because they have these jackets, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
Yeah, and it's like they have like makeup on, and like their hair has that like colored spray in it, and and it's really weird. The
and it's like they cast the ugliest people playing Wheelers.
Well, it's not. Am I right? You know what? It's not even that. It's
because
they're
bad.
It's because they had the, they had to have people who were like dancers or like gymnasts or like.
And yeah. Most of those people aren't really. You know, they're homie.
Well, they have low body fat to fill out their faces and stuff like that, I think, with this. So
yeah. So they're ugly. Yeah, that's a really nice way of saying they're ugly. That's fine.
No, the
You're nicer than me. I just was going to say ugly.
But no, they're creepy. And at one point, they only do this like in the movie once. So Dorothy is running with Belina, and they're like chasing after her. So she's just running away. And she runs down into this like corridor. And one of them is like,
yeah, that's
and
weird.
It makes weird sounds, but they speak English all the rest of the time. So wait, what was that? And I was like, ugh, why did you make them make those sounds? Just so creepy and weird.
I don't know. That's a really good question. And why not have a little subtitle on that one?
You know.
I don't know. Just
I think we get the gist. So she's cornered, and so she's backing away towards this wall. Like, she has nowhere to go. And then she realizes there's, like, this little glyph on the wall. And it's actually a keyhole. And, like, Belina's like, the key door!
Did you say what? A what?
What?
A what on the wall?
A glyph?
No, it's gif or gif.
No. Not, oh. No, it's a glyph.
Oh, okay.
No, but it is gif.
Okay.
And you will not convince me otherwise, everybody.
Is it glyph notes, like cliff notes or cliff notes?
Cliff notes.
Okay. Well, so maybe it's a cliff.
No. It's like it's hieroglyph.
It's a glyph? Oh, it's a hieroglyph. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
And so she uses the key. The wall opens, and she hides in there. It's a hidden door.
Right. And then one of the temple guards comes and takes her away.
Correct. No, the temple guard is too scared of the Wheelers to come in there to deal with them.
I'm Omek.
Oh, never mind. He would have been a great addition to this cast, though.
I thought...
And also Omek.
And Omek as the gnome king.
So, inside, they find a mechanical man who's just, like, frozen.
Right.
And so she reads on his back that he's, like, the army of Oz. He's, like, supposed to be the army of them. And he has to be wound up. He has three gears, one for his thinking, one for speaking, right. And one for his movement.
And he's a little bit older, so how do you wind him up? You start talking bad about, like, immigrants or, like, you know, about people coming into this country illegally. Oh, no, that's how you wind up old people nowadays. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You talk about the estate tax. Well, so they wind him up, and he's just like, what is going on? Well, so, when Oz came under attack, he was trying to figure out how to get Dorothy, because Scarecrow said, get Dorothy. And he didn't know what to do, so he tried to call for her, and nothing happened. And eventually, his speech wore down. So he paced around back and forth until that ran down. And then he just thought about things until he finally that wound down, too. So they managed to get out.
Yeah.
And
do we say that he is played by Wilford Brimley?
He looks like Wilford Brimley. I think the first thing when he came to life, we went
diabetes. Dorothy, do you have diabetes?
Dorothy, diabetes. Quaker oatmeal.
Quaker oatmeal.
So
I know Deidre Hall.
So for those of you who. No TikTok.
Yes.
From...
Not the Kesha song.
Right. Who recognized him from this movie. I learned something today.
Yeah.
So in order to get his patented kind of like weird like side squatty movements, there is actually a gymnast walking on his hands. His arms are the legs. And so when you see it, it's a guy... doing handstands, walking for extended periods, and, like, his legs are in a ball. So he's not even stretched out.
Also,
he's just...
He's voiced by what's his face from Star Wars, right?
I thought it was. I think it's the same guy who plays Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah, right.
I'm not 100% sure now, but I think it is.
Sounds like him.
Yeah.
So the mustache is creepy.
Yeah.
So whenever he talks, his mustache goes up and down.
It's like, so you know, like they hired the Pringles man to defend your city.
It really is.
Yeah. And so he gets outside. He's like, let's go see what they're doing. So he goes and looks out there. Nothing. He walks to the middle of the square. And so when the Wheelers come out, he starts beating the shit out of them by spinning around and hitting all of them. Like, he's tough.
I think he quotes, Los Locos kick your butt. Los Locos kick your ass.
Los Locos kick your face.
Or, yeah, kick your face into outer space.
Los Locos kick your balls into outer space.
Look, that was like episode 3. I can't remember all the episodes we've done.
I will never forget. TikTok explains that King Scarecrow, Scarecrow is now the King of Oz, he has been captured by the Gnome King, who is this kind of rock wizard kind of a thing.
Kind of.
And which is why we're seeing the eyes on all the rocks and stuff. Right. It's the gnome, his spies are...
Yeah, throughout the movie, they're like, his spies are like, Dorothy's on her way over here. Aha.
Yeah.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. The Gnome King also is played by the Doctor, right?
Yes, he's played by the Doctor.
Now, we also read that Tim Curry was in talks to play the Gnome King, which would have been
amazing. And Christopher
also
Lloyd.
Also, Christopher Lloyd would have been great, too, as well.
So. Yeah. Now, I'll say, like, so after TikTok beats the Wheelers up, he captures one of them, like the head one of them, who was actually the head movement guy for this movie, right, like for the show. He actually helped like Jack and helped Scarecrow and all these people with their movements. So he does a lot of dance, a lot of gymnastics and stuff. He's a head wheeler. He also does voice stuff. He's worked with like Jim Henson a lot.
Sure.
He's one of the Skeksis. I thought he did the voice of the Chamberlain or something like that, but maybe not. But he did one of the Skeksis. He did some of the goblins in Dark Crystal or in a Labyrinth as well.
Okay.
The Wheeler, he gets him to say that you know, if they want to get more information about the Gnome King and how to get to him, that they should see Princess Mombi in hopes of getting more info. And he's like, right, you know, take me to her. He's like, nope.
No, I didn't think Mombi was a princess. I thought Mombi was a genie from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Well, that's a jombie. Never mind.
Well, there were many heads in boxes. It would have been great if that was one of the heads.
Maybe Mombi is Jombie's mom.
Mombi. Yes. I think that is. It's my Mombi. And then you open the last container, and the head is just like, Mika, look a high, Mika, hiney ho. So they go to see Mombi, and she's like, well, come with me. Let me change into something else a little bit more appropriate, whatever. And she's like, okay. So Dorothy goes with her, and she's like holding Dorothy's hand. And as they walk forward, she enters this corridor, and Dorothy's face is just like, what the fuck? Like, she just, and there's even a moment where she like tries to pull back, and Mombi just jerks her arm forward.
This is the creepiest scene in any kids' movie.
Yeah.
By far, this is the creepiest.
It's just rows and rows of heads. And she walks to this cabinet. She has this cool...
It's like Futurama, where the heads are kind of...
Yeah, like the heads in jars.
Yeah, kind of.
And the heads are, like, watching, too. Like, they're not just stationary heads.
No, these are moving and looking. Actresses that are, you know...
And so and she has this cool, like, ruby key that opens them. So she
dug that key.
I did, too. I thought it was pretty cool looking. She takes it, and she opens one cabinet, and she's like, you know, maybe head number four for now. So she takes her head off, puts it down, goes and gets the other one and puts it on.
Creepy.
Yeah. Creepy. And so Dorothy's like, I'll be going. And she goes, no, like, you know, you're not old enough yet. You know, you're not beautiful, but you have a certain prettiness to you.
Yeah.
Like a unique look. So I'll probably keep your head, like, but it's going to take a couple of years. So I'm going to lock you in the tower until then. And so she grabs a hold of Dorothy.
Yeah.
And Dorothy is like, oh, my God, help.
Yeah.
And
so heads up.
Don't lose your head. Yeah. So
off with your head. Dun, 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 dance when you're dead.
Oh, yeah. So she is dragging her up there. TikTok goes to save the day and comes at her. And, like, right before he hits her, he stops. He goes, uh-oh, my movement must have stopped.
Uh-oh, I have diabetes.
I have diabetes. Type 2 diabetes testing. The
Quaker rope bill.
Well, he had been fighting Wheeler, so that probably wore him down faster.
Yeah.
And so she takes Dorothy and Belina upstairs, throws them in the tower, and locks it behind them.
Right.
And she's going to keep her up there for years. So Dorothy and Belina hear somebody talking and saying, mother, you know, calling out for their mother. Well, it turns out it's Jack Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, his arm has been ripped off and his leg has been ripped off. Turns out he was this scarecrow kind of a thing that... whoever Jack's mother was set it up to scare off Mombi, and who is real in reality is an evil witch.
Yeah.
And so Mombi comes at them, and she was mad at first, but then thought, you know what? I'm going to have some fun. She takes this powder of life that she has and brings him to life. And then throws him up in the tower when she's done with him. And that was with her original head. So she doesn't use that much anymore because she prefers these beautiful young heads.
Yeah.
And so she must have forgotten he was up there.
The jack-o'-lantern guy. Yep. What's his name?
Jack Pumpkinhead.
Jack Pumpkin, yeah. Original. Okay, so Jack Pumpkin. Like, even though it's not really freaky, this part kind of freaks me out a little bit because it's a big gigantic pumpkin,
yeah,
for a head,
yeah.
So it reminded me of, like, do you remember at McDonald's when you would get those plastic pumpkin things for your Happy Meals,
yeah,
and then you would use that to go trick or I would use that to go trick or treating,
yeah,
and then I would capture lightning bugs and we'd put them in there,
yeah,
be great. Yeah. So it reminded me of that, like a big gigantic pail.
Kind of, yeah.
But, like, I never knew when he was talking because, obviously, his mouth didn't move.
Right. So, originally, the plans... There was a couple plans for some additional, like, animatronics for his face. Okay. And for scarecrows.
That makes sense because That's freaky, too.
So, but at least they got some things in with Jack. So, Jack's head just, like, expands and contracts, like, when he's surprised.
Yeah,
and
he
stuff.
Does that, yeah.
But they didn't get the mouth going.
Yeah.
And then Scarecrow, later on when we do see him, I don't know if you notice, like, his mouth never actually moves.
Oh, no, it's
just
creepy.
A series of masks.
It's the creepiest thing.
Yeah, because they ran out of money.
Yeah.
Paying for Fariza Balk. So Jack is there, and he's like, well, if you get that powder, she's like, I have a plan. Come with me, we're going to get TikTok, and then we're going to get this going. So... she goes down to get the powder of life. She winds up TikTok, sends him upstairs with Jack to make something so they can escape. Because she saw that the Gnome King's mountain is just, like, across the way. And so she's like, all right, so they are in charge of building something to escape on. And so they put... like a couple of couches together and tie them up. They tie some palm fronds to it for, like, wings and a tail. And they take this stuffed head of an animal, a Gump, and they tie it to it.
Gump sat alone on a buggy marsh.
That's the one. So she goes down.
Jenny.
She goes down and she goes into the head 31 cabinet, which is her original head.
Yeah.
And sees, and it's just kind of like, it's not like all the other ones where they're in prominent places. It's the original one just stuffed
like
in the
back.
It's
like a junk drawer.
Yeah. With her original head.
You know?
Yeah. And so she's like, oh, so she grabs it, but as she's grabbing the powder, like, which should, is like way out in the open. There's like a little jar in front
I
of it.
Know.
And she's just like, tink, just like knocks it
Oops.
Over. Like, how could you not? Okay. So she grabs the powder, but she wakes Mombi up.
Right.
Who starts screaming. And of course, the sleeping body wakes up and starts lumbering
Creepiest.
At her. With no head. And it's making gurgling noises.
Gurgling noises.
It's like coming
it's
at her.
Creepiest thing that
yeah.
in any kid's movie.
So it's coming at her. And all the other heads start screaming
right.
too. It's so freaky.
It's just a you know, an alleyway of heads screaming.
Just screaming, yeah. Rather than talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want talking heads. They're speaking in tongues.
It's my cover band, The Screaming Heads. So she's like, holy shit, we need to get going. She runs upstairs and she doesn't know, can't remember where the secret door is to get up into the tower. And she sees this kind of glowing, almost like a person beckoning her over. And so she realizes, oh, that's the door. Okay. So she goes up inside, gets up into the tower, and she takes the powder of life and sprinkles it on everything. Or she's getting ready to, but it's not all the way built. Turns out, part of the way through, TikTok's thinking ran down, and he started going nuts, and like Jack couldn't be like, Jack's like, tie my legs together. Okay. Like, he's just like so stupid that he's like, well, whatever. I guess that makes sense.
Oh.
And so they like hurry up and finish getting it done. They sprinkle it with the powder and they couldn't get it going. Jack can't remember how to make it work. And TikTok points out maybe there's special words on it, like special, you know, incantation. And so written right on the container, it says, you have to say the words, Weog, Teog, Peog.
Yeah.
And she says it.
Which people don't realize, those were the original, like, Ducklings and DuckTales.
Yeah.
It wasn't Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah. I think it was the original. Peog. It was the original before Rice Krispies. When they were just Rice Soggies.
Rice Soggies.
When it was just rice cereal.
It was what?
It was Weog, Teog, and Peog.
Weog.
Weog.
I'm Weog.
Oh, I'm Teog.
And I'm Peog.
I'm Peog. So,
and we're Rice Soggies.
So,
part of your disgusting.
So breakfast. They bring the Gump to life. And so he's like, what the hell is going on? Last thing I knew, I was in the woods or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So they're like, well, now you're a flying sofa. So
oh,
let's,
okay.
So let's go.
Let's go with it.
And so they manage to escape right as Mombi is busting
Now
in.
You're a flying sofa. Get over yourself.
Get over it, dude. You're a flying sofa with a broom in its butt. Go.
Okay.
I suppose. And like, it's just, I
you
don't
spent
know who
the
does
money,
the voice,
okay.
But I just kept going. It's just like a cross between like Eeyore and Sam Elliott.
sure
so
thing.
His name is Lyle Conway. That's the voice. I don't. That means nothing to me, but I thought I would say it.
Sure thing. Sure thing, dude.
Mombi abides. So so they're flying. They're like, Mombi's like calls her wheelers and says, go after them.
Right. They're the fly monkeys.
Yeah. It's reverse. Now they're flying and the monkeys are on the ground.
Yeah.
And so they're chasing after them. And they're like, can't you fly any faster, Gump? And he's like, why don't one of you fat asses get off me?
I don't know. I'm carrying a goddamn pumpkin head, guy.
I'm carrying a pumpkin head
and a
like a gin still, like
a Kesha over here,
and a whiskey still. That's and so Jack goes. Jack very bravely goes, "Why don't you just jump TikTok, you fucking fat ass?" Like he's like, "You weigh the most," and TikTok is just like, "You suck." He does. He's just like, "It's true, but you didn't have to say it."
Yeah, right.
So he's like, "We're fine. We're fine." So they just keep flying on.
Yeah.
They make it to they're heading that way, and you see a couple of ropes start coming undone. But it's the first time that Dorothy has slept like in a long time, like really slept well. She just feels tired. She beds down, is holding Belina, and they zonk out. So, the next thing you know, Jack's like, "Wake up, Dorothy!" And so she wakes up. Well, the gump is starting to come apart.
Yeah,
and TikTok is holding a couple of the ropes, and they start slipping in other places. And they're like, "Oh my god, do not let us die in this desert."
Stupid is a stupid nose.
I'm gonna try to land us on this mountain, Jenny. Oh, and like earlier, the Wheelers are chasing them. Half the Wheelers fall down a little hill onto the deadly desert. And we finally get to see what happens to things there. So like the Wheelers land on the sand and turn into sand. And not even that, like you see like the sculpture of them. But beyond that, then its face and head starts crumbling apart.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that freaked me out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So they manage to, like, Jack's head falls off, and they dive for it, and, like, there's just this whole thing with them trying to keep it together and, like, deal with Jack's just continual stupidity at the same time. They manage to get his head right as they all fall apart, and the gumps, part of it, like, his couch falls and lands on the mountain. Dorothy lands on the couch. You know, and you start seeing everybody else landing around them. That took 11. It was like a shot where everything happened without cutting away. That was like 11 shots to do that.
Well,
like
no wonder it ran over budget.
11 takes to do that goofy scene. It's cool. It looks good. But yeah, they had to get it right. What they've learned too is that, like, so not only are they going to go find Scarecrow, but the Gnome King has actually taken emeralds from Emerald City. Like, the emeralds that give it life and give it power, he took those. That's why it's falling apart. So now they're on the mountain, so they're walking, trying to find it. And as they're putting the gump back together, because at first he's just like, "Well, I'm ahead. I'm done. Whatever." They tie him back to a sofa so that he can move and walk around with them. But as they're doing that, you see... I'm going to back up a second.
Okay.
The whole time that they are like, "Dorothy is here. This and this." And they're like, "And she has a chicken."
Right.
That's of everything. I'm like, huh, that was odd. Like, they're very, very upset continuously in this movie about Belina being there, about the chicken.
Well, I think everyone was.
Yeah.
I think you're just speaking for the audience.
So, yeah, people apparently do not like Belina.
Well, you know, Toto wasn't there, and we got a talking chicken that sounds like Mary Wicks.
Yeah. I'd rather... It's not like Toto talked in the other one.
Yeah, Toto barked.
Yeah, so why does Belina talk and Toto didn't?
I don't know.
Weird.
Very weird.
So, but they're very freaked out about this chicken. And so, they... when they land on the mountain, you see one of the little gnome spy... The, like, rock gnome spies is just like...
Yeah.
You know, they're up there, but there's no sign of the chicken. So he's like, okay, I'm going to go check this out. So the Gnome King pops up and is like, "Why are you here? What's your intention? What are you doing?" And they say, well, we're coming back for our friend and to get the stuff that you took. And he's like, oh, you think, what if, you know, you think somebody should give things back? She's like, yeah, I think it's the right thing to do. And he's like, what if I don't want to? And she's like, well, we brought the Army of Oz with us. So he starts laughing in her face, like laughing enough that the mountain starts shaking apart. And she falls down like into the mountain. He basically takes her through it and is talking about that, like, all of the emeralds, all of the rubies, all of these things were made for him by his minions. And when they went and the people of Oz took them to make their cities, they were stealing from him. So he's really just getting it back for himself. They belong to him in the first place. And, of course, she's like, well, you already have so much, you couldn't give them just, like, a few emeralds?
And how do we know that? We need your tax returns. Come on, Gnome King.
Show us your tax returns, Gnome King.
Show us your tax returns, Gnome King. So I don't have to. I'm getting audited right now. I'm getting audited.
And so she lands in his lair with the Scarecrow. And the Scarecrow vanishes and goes into like a room, basically away from them. And she's like, what's happening? He's like, well, the Scarecrow, you know, I've turned him into an ornament to keep. And she's like, why? He's like, well, he stole my emeralds. And she goes, he wasn't the king. When the Emerald City was already there, it was already built when we came through, and this wasn't his fault, and she's crying. And, like, for a minute, he seems the Gnome King seems very, like, compassionate for a second. Like, he's just like, I didn't realize you guys were so close. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, I know what'll cheer you up. And he brings their other friends down here. Now, the reason, by the way, there is no sign of Belina for, like, that whole part up above, and now she's like in Jack's head, and right. You can see her little chicken head inside of his
right,
eye.
The eyeball.
Which I'm glad they do it because then she's still like, you realize, oh yeah, she's still in there. So he is. They're like, okay, well, if do you really like want to save him? Like, are you willing to risk anything? She says, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, let's have a game. I will send you in there, and you get three guesses to figure out which ornament is him.
Right.
And if you do...
When you mean ornament, you mean like Hallmark ornaments?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So she's like, you know, you get three guesses. She agrees. So first, they send in the Gump. And he's like, Dick, I do not have arms even to touch things. And he's like, use your damn antlers. And he goes, great. Okay, whatever. You're away. Ooh. And so he goes in there. Oh. And you hear, every time somebody makes a wrong choice, you hear like a thundery kind of sound.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is they have to touch the ornament and say Oz.
Yeah.
And if they guess wrong, you hear the thundery sound.
And the cool thing is, like, every time they make a wrong choice, he kind of becomes more mortal.
Yeah, every time one of them... So, the Gump turns into... Like, at first, he's part of the wall. So, the Gump chooses wrong, finally, does three times, and he turns into an ornament himself.
Yeah.
And then the Gnome King kind of pulls away from the wall, so now he's just like a claymation guy, much more detailed than he was before. Yeah.
And every time that happens, he gets more and more detailed.
And the claymation on this is fantastic, by the way. I think it is.
It's a little... The claymation's fine. It's a little clunky with the at the beginning with the rocks. But
yeah, that's because they superimpose it over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So next up is Jack. And TikTok's like... Jack sucks. This isn't going to work. Like, he goes, I don't have a lot of hope for Jack. It's like, thanks, TikTok. So, Jack, obviously, he's not like, real quick on on the uptake, so he does not pass. Gnome King becomes a little bit more human. Now he just looks like a guy.
He looks more human than human.
Now he looks like a guy, but with like kind of clay blended into his beard and his face.
Yeah.
So they send TikTok in.
At first, do you remember what I said when like it was just kind of with the rocks? I was like, why is Dorothy talking to 1/4 of Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, he does. He looked like Teddy Roosevelt. TikTok is in there. He is he's choosing, and like part of the way through, you hear him make a couple wrong choices, and part of the way through, a little gnome comes out of the rocks and starts talking to the Gnome King. And he goes, oh, well, that's weird. Okay. He goes, hey, your friend just stopped moving, like, in the middle of the room. He's not doing anything. And she's like, oh, crap, his action key must have run down. And they're like, well, why don't you go get him? And then you can make your choice while you're in there, but you can wind him up and he can finish his turn. So she goes in. Now, at the same time, Mombi is on her way. She apparently has a tunnel direct to the Gnome
Evidently.
King.
And she's, like, betting her,
she
like...
She has a chariot that is pulled by wheelers.
Chariot.
It's the creepiest thing. It's very, like... I've seen drag queens do this exact same entrance. it's really freaky. So, in the meantime... and Mombi shows up, and she's like... The girl is on her way. Dorothy Gale is on her way, and she's got a chicken. And he goes, you let her escape. You let this happen. And she's like, oh, she's already here. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. And she starts talking about that. Was it Ozma was trying to get away? Because you see earlier, like, the same girl who helped Dorothy escape, you can see her kind of in the glass.
Right.
Well, he's like, what did you say about Ozma? She is not to escape. And so he imprisons Mombi in this cage to deal with her later. Because turns out he wants to eventually be human because he'll get this ultimate power. And he has these ruby slippers that Dorothy...
That look so great on his toes.
It's bizarre. Okay, so this like guy who's all covered in clay and this like booming voice, whatever... And then he's wearing ruby slippers.
I have your ruby slippers.
Hey. So he's got these big ruby slippers. And, like, they still have the bows on them and everything.
Yeah.
But Dorothy's like, oh, man. Like, and he, once he is human, he can use their power to, like, its full extent then, I think, was the deal. And so she goes inside, and TikTok is like, hey, pretend to wind me up. I'm not actually frozen yet, but this is a trick. Like, you can see what I become, and maybe that'll give you a clue as to what you need to guess. And she's like, that's really smart. And so she's pretending to wind him up, and she's like, you know, thanks, TikTok. And she gives him a hug, and he actually hugs her. Like, his whole time he's been very like, I don't want to be human. He's kind of the opposite of the Tin Man, where Tin Man's like, I just need a heart, like, and he's kind of had it all along. TikTok's like, I don't want to be human. I don't want that. I don't want a heart. But here we find out he does have one. So he puts his hand on her back as she's hugging him, and he actually starts crying like, you know, hydraulic fluid.
Yeah.
And so he goes and touches an item, and he says Oz, and the lights flicker, and he's just gone. And she doesn't see what he became, which does not help matters.
No.
So she is walking around trying to figure out what it is. And she guesses two times and it fails. She goes to do the third and she has no clue. So she just spins around the room and starts walking at something. And she finds, like, she manages to get her way with her eyes closed over to this, like, little cat statue.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fate of, like, all of Oz is in your hands, Dorothy. I don't think the best method is to play pin the tail on the donkey.
Well, her thinking about it didn't help, so she just trusted her instincts.
Oh, okay.
So she spins around, and she picks up this cat statue, and you can see where she's about to say Oz. And she looks over and sees this emerald-looking thing. It's just an emerald, pretty much. She picks it up, and she just kind of has this feeling, and she goes, Oz, and it turns into the Scarecrow.
Hi, Dorothy!
And that's when...
That's the creepiest moment in my movie experience.
Yeah, he's very creepy.
Because his mouth doesn't move, and he's just, hi, Dorothy! Well,
and they ran out of money for the face, for the prosthesis, so it's just masks with, like, fixed faces on them.
It's very odd.
And so when that happens, the Gnome King, you see him kind of revert back to his previous step. And he's like, no. And so she's like, help me look for green things. So they run around and find all these green trinkets and say Oz and turn them into, turn them back into the others. She finds everybody but TikTok at this point. There's one where, like, basically the Gnome King busts into the room because he's going to cheat now. Because, hey, he really isn't interested in being fair. He just wants to win. So he busts into the room and is tearing it apart. And, like, gnomes are coming out of the walls at them.
Yeah.
And there's a vase that almost falls off. Scarecrow catches it and she says Oz and it turns into Jack. Who still has Bellina inside the head. And, the Gnome King is trying to eat them, and he eats the Gump's body, but not the head. They managed to get the head off of it. He eats the body, and then he's like, how about you, Pumpkinhead? So he takes Jack and is holding Jack over his mouth, and like his little cap falls off, and then he says, you hear Bellina going, oh, dear, oh, like making Joanne Worley sounds. And then she lays an egg finally.
Yeah.
And the egg rolls around and falls down the Gnome King's throat. And he was like, an egg? And he's like, eggs are poison. And all the other gnomes start sinking back into the walls, like, and leaving these holes behind, which I always thought was weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of creepy.
Creepy.
But the Gnome King, like, his eye frosts over, and he just starts, like, withering away, and he's like,
eggs. I don't know why an egg. Why is it an egg?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do not know. So he starts withering away, and so he's crumbling. And his face looks like a skull.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of the outline of the skull even. And so everything starts coming apart.
It's like when the Nazis melt away.
And
Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. So they get away. And they're sitting out on the grass. Dorothy gets the ruby slippers. And she wishes that Emerald City would be restored. Everybody would be turned back into people instead of stone, and that her and her friends could get out of there. And so she clicks her heels three times.
And she get those beats back because she wants to listen to Spotify.
she clicks her heels three times, and boom, they're out in the grass. And you see, when Mommy shows up for whatever reason,
yeah,
and you see the Emerald City come back to life. And so they're all sitting out there. Of course, no TikTok. And so they're sitting and they go, wait a minute, what the heck is that on your antler? And he's like, oh, I don't know. It must have gotten stuck to me. Well, it's like a little green metal. And so she says Oz and TikTok comes back. So they're all together. So they have a big celebration in the Emerald City for all of them. So the King Scarecrow and everybody goes back. The people actually ask for Dorothy to be the Queen of Oz, but she refuses. So she wants to go home and be with Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. Then they said something about, like, just looking in the mirror. She said, I wish there was two of me. And so she looks in the mirror, and she sees a girl there that's not her. It's Ozma, the original princess of Oz. And, of course, it's the same girl who helped her escape earlier. So she was the original princess. Her father was the king of Oz when the wizard showed up, the Wizard of Oz showed up.
Yeah.
And so she's the rightful ruler of Oz. So they give her the ruby slippers and they give her the crown. So she takes over. And even Mombi, she forgives Mombi, who has already been stripped of her powers by Dorothy in the slippers. So Mombi has no more power. She takes her place on the throne. She sends Dorothy back, but Belina stays because she's like, teetotaling Kansas sucks. I'm out.
So, I don't like Kansas.
Yeah, so she stays there. So then Dorothy takes off, and she wakes
I'm going to assume if the chicken goes back, it's probably not going to lay any eggs, and then
they're probably going to, you know. Yeah, and that might have already happened. Who knows? But so back in Kansas, Dorothy is, they find her on the riverbank washed up. Uncle Henry finds her, or Toto finds her first, and then Uncle Henry joins in. And he's so excited that she's there, and Aunt Em runs up with a blanket. So they're taking care of her. As they're heading back, Aunt Em reveals that J.B. Worley's hospital, it got struck by lightning. And you see it get struck as they're running away. So it had gotten struck by lightning, and it burns down. Worley died trying to save his machines. So he was, like, killed, just like the Gnome King was. He was killed in there. And then we see Nurse Wilson locked in a cage, just like Mombi was, being pulled on like a horse and buggy in this cage. And that confuses a lot of people why that happened.
God, it kind of, me too.
Because two things. It's a throwaway line about, it's basically, it comes back to, remember I said, you got to remember earlier when she said their failed experiments are in the basement.
I guess so.
So it's a throwaway line, so people don't remember it. And a lot of times they cut part of that for time. And so, like, you don't even know.
You don't even know.
Yeah, so she's she goes by. And getting back to the farmhouse, Dorothy is in her bedroom. And she's looking into her bedroom mirror. And Oz, she traces Oz on the glass. And Ozma and Belina show up in the reflection. She calls Aunt Em in, and Ozma's like, no, they'll think you're crazy. And so she tells them
they
no.
They already do.
You should burn it all down, Dorothy. So she, later on, she goes outside. She's running in the yard, giggling, playing with Toto.
Right.
And you can see the house has been built. Uncle Henry is kind of, you know, has come back too. So the house is all built. And that's the end.
You've been deuced. So that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, Jeremy.
Yes.
Shall we do that? Kate Match gave it a 10 out of 10. Love it. Almost like a Tim Burton flick. This is one of my all-time favorite movies from when I was younger, about 8 or 9. I still love it today. It's not really linked to Wizard of Oz, per se, but has a cool, darker vibe about it. I compare this to what Tim Burton did to revamp Willy Wonka in a totally outside-the-box kind of thinking. It's very Nightmare Before Christmas. Not too scary for kids at all, yet enjoyable for teens and adults, too. It's a movie that will provoke some thought and imagination in your kids instead of today's brainless movies that seem to be all the rage. There's good plot and conflict, great characters, and good messages as well. I highly recommend it.
Well, I support her 10 out of 10, but like,
yeah.
Like,
the Willy Wonka thing, I was like,
you worry me a little bit with, like, your review.
The only thing to compare that to Willy Wonka is that Deep Roy. Yeah, was it that? Sorry.
Yeah, he plays the Tin Man.
Benton Cheshire gives it a 1 out of 10.
F you.
Says, warning to all parents. Don't let your little ones see this, thinking there'll be lots of sunshine and Dorothy and yellow brick roads. There are not. There is only darkness and misery and awfulness. I saw this when I was, say, 10, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Well, Ben, you're kind of a wuss then at 10, aren't you? I'm just saying. That's all.
That's all he said.
I can't really find that many bad reviews on this movie.
I doubt you would. It's really become a cult classic, and I think a lot of people like it just because it's like, oh, my God, what is this? It's so dark compared to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, like, it scared the bejesus out of me many, many years ago. It's like you just went trolling for, like, if you didn't just watch it, why did you go and troll on it and put shitty reviews?
I do like that the girl said it reminds me of a Tim Burton movie, because here's the thing about Tim Burton. Tim Burton came out with Pee-wee's Big Adventure in 85 when this movie came out. He didn't then do Beetlejuice until 88. So I can see how Tim Burton might be kind of influenced by the darker tone of the kids kind of movie with this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty cool to think of that.
But in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you get the Large Marge.
That's what I mean,
too,
the Large Marge.
Like, holy
shit, you'd be scaring me when I was younger. Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure Tim Burton enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I bet he did, too.
All right.
Well, let's talk about what do you think is the best part of this movie?
There are a lot of good parts of this movie. Faroussa Balk's pretty good in this movie as far as up, like, her first movie.
Yeah, right.
Like, she's not that terrible in it.
Yeah.
Jean Marsh is good as the creepy queen. But I really like the guy that plays the Gnome King. I really thought, like, the depthness of that villain is something that you normally don't see in kids' movies.
Yeah.
Because you kind of feel for him for a little bit, for 2 seconds, and then you're like, okay, yeah, but you're an asshole too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's also like, loves playing games too.
Yeah.
He wants to play a game with Dorothy as well.
He is.
Do you know what I mean? He's like this weird villain that you normally don't get.
To me, he's like I know they say he's the Gnome King, but to me, he's almost like a Greek god.
Yeah.
Where he takes pleasure in the misery of them, but he understands their emotions, but he doesn't really care about their emotions.
And then once he's
angered, all the rules are broken.
Right. And his motivation for his anger is great.
You took from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I would agree with that. He's a pretty good addition. But, you know, I really, like, I think the way that they designed the world and that we got to see so much more of it. I mean, we're so used to the yellow brick road and kind of the things you go along
there. The sunshininess.
Like, we really see the off the beaten path stuff. And, you know, Oz is this big, very elaborate world. And so I do like that we got to see more of it.
Uh-huh.
That is a favorite part of mine. But really, I think this builds more of the mythos, too, like, or exposes us to more of the mythos. Like, again, the books are very intricate and elaborate.
It makes you want to know more.
Yeah, exactly.
Or see more.
The original Wizard of Oz never made me want to go and read these books. But, like, when I was a kid.
No, yeah.
And I saw this, and especially as I got older, I was like, and appreciated mythology a lot more. I was like, I want to read these books. Mm-hmm. And I still do. I never got into them, but I definitely want to go back and read through. So, would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
Continue. I will continue anything with Wizard of Oz. Anything that has anything to do with Wizard of Oz, I love.
Yeah, me too.
And so I love, like you just were done saying, we're building more mythology into it.
Yeah.
And much like when we were talking about, like, How to Train Your Dragon,
yeah,
you're building more mythology. That means I'm getting more interested in what your world has to offer.
Yeah.
Show me more.
Now, we saw the Great and Powerful Oz, or Oz the Great and Powerful,
right,
or whatever it was. Like, do you consider that, like, part of this? Like, would you say that and then Wizard of Oz, and then this is like the natural progression of these films?
Kind of. Or? I mean, it's more of a prequel.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a prequel, but like, would you put that in the same world as those?
Well, technically they are.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
So, well, yeah. It's part of the same stories and everything. I guess I would like to see more Wizard of Oz stuff that maybe explored the other stories or just different parts of those worlds. You know, I think we could, we could stand to learn more about some more of the obscure stuff which we did a little bit in the Oz the Great and Powerful, like the porcelain, village or like the little porcelain girl,
little porcelain
and stuff
village,
like that.
Yeah.
I think we learned a lot more, which I was happy with.
Okay, The Great and Powerful Oz, it's an okay movie. What's his bucket? James Franco was miscast.
I do agree.
Other than that, I was okay with that movie.
Yes, me too. I would continue it. And for those of you who haven't seen it before, Tin Man, that was on Sci-Fi. It was like a sci-fi miniseries. If you like twists on a story like Wizard of Oz, that definitely is a good one.
Which I do. I know you. I think you do too.
Yes.
You?
Yeah, I do. So no, I dug that one. And sometimes I've seen some that were pretty like that's kind of ham-fisted,
right.
Or it was just kind of a stupid like.
There was that NBC show. I did not like that very
Oz
well.
Or
I know it was like
Emerald City.
Emerald City.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I didn't either, but I kind of want to go back and give it, like, I could probably binge it and get through it.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, the Tin Man, for sure, I enjoyed. And it's kind of got a weird twist to a lot of it. But okay, so do you think this movie stands on its own?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No, there's no way this movie can stand on its own.
No. Especially because of the friends who,
yeah, like you'd kind of be lost. You'd be like, what? Like, you wouldn't know what the gravity of the reason why Oz is ruined. Like, why is that bad?
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Nope, I agree. Does this make you want to watch the first one?
No, it makes me want to watch this movie again. Does it make sense? Like, I don't think that this is necessarily, like, a companion piece to Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It's almost like a next step above.
Yeah.
Not a next step above, like, filmmaking, but, like, a next step above, like, story and mythology-wise of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me want to watch the first one, but it would, because, you know, whatever. But it's just the fact that I've seen that too many times.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't make me want to watch the original, but it does make me want to watch Tin Man.
Yeah, it makes me want to, like, explore other elements of, like, people putting their own spin on it.
Yeah, I agree. And what do you think, some of your experience in two words?
My two words are dystopian Oz. This is, to me, a kid's dystopian movie.
Yeah.
In a way, I mean, everything is ruined. Everything that we know, that every hope that we've come to know from the original Oz, the Wizard of Oz, is stripped bare. We have to start anew and everything. We got to rebuild, right?
Yeah.
Especially like seeing the yellow brick road just all kind of all in ruined. And like when we talk about dystopian movies, like, people are like, oh, why do you like dystopian movies? I'm like, I like dystopian movies because I think they're the movies where you see the most hope in things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's always that one. You have to have hope, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that kind of bridges and helps you understand what the fuck is going on in the world.
Yeah.
Right? And especially, like, all the shit that's going on nowadays in the world. It's actually good to be reminded that you should believe in something.
Yeah.
And this movie makes you believe in something.
Yeah.
Even if people around you might not believe you, at least knowing that you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what Wizard of Oz always has. Mm-hmm. been for me. So,
so I think my two words are times change. And the reason I say that is because I think Wizard of Oz, for the time that it came out, it was just this very visual, you know, very bright and cheery kind of a thing. It was, like you said, it was kind of, it had hope and it had all these other things as well. Like it was, it, but it was, you know, at the time it was almost as kind of like, you were facing off against the evil queen and, you know, like,
we knew, like when you watch the original Wizard of Oz, you know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to turn out fine.
Yeah.
This is almost like, you don't know. You're like, oh, yeah, maybe it's not.
But kids were also like now, and like when this movie came out, even more so now, are more exposed to like the realities of the world that are out there, you know, violence and like things that are in the news, talking about mental illness. Like this movie deals with mental illness, and you know, it's in a way like in the first one, Dorothy comes back and we go, was it a dream? And we get into this one and we're like, is she mentally ill? Like, is, you know, is this something like, you know, is she having delusions? You know, like we approach from a different way. And I think times change, and with media and with like, especially now, not so much then, but now with like more with social media, we're exposed to these things a lot earlier and a lot more thoroughly. And so I think when this came out, this was what the, you know, what we needed. This is what we needed to understand a little bit more. Like, it just wasn't enough to have the thing where you knew it was going to have the positive outcome. Like, this was dicey, and this was, it dealt with like a lot more complex concepts.
There's a reason why this film bombed at the box office. This is way too dark for 1985.
Yeah.
This, which means it's before its time.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So there you go. We have finished up our Witchapalooza. Wishing everyone a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Where can people find us, Jeremy?
People can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us at Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. If you go onto iTunes, please rate us there. You can also find us at thenophonynetwork.com, as well as many of our other, you know, network mates. Check them out. Find us on Facebook, or you can also find us on Twitter at The Deuce Podcast. So please do check us out. Visit. We retweet a lot of stuff, or we'll put different kind of musings and thoughts out there. So please check us out.
And just because we finished the Witchapalooza doesn't mean we're not going to have some great themed episodes coming up. In November, we are going to probably do a nice political, not a political movie, but a fun kind of political sequel, I guess, yeah, in a way. So I guess we decided to do the second national, treasure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to do a Nick Cage movie, second Nick Cage movie, because we, yes, did Ghost Rider.
Yep.
So look forward to that. We'll do that for, voting.
Yes.
Right? Right? For Election Day. But remember, folks, the sequel is king.